Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Sunday, October 20th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams here, and I've got something really special for you today and a couple of tweets I put out that I want to read for you. We are on the verge of course, kinetic war and nuclear war and financial wars and so on, but I recorded a sermon this weekend that is about the ultimate war between Satan and God. It's the war between evil and good, and it's the war on the genetic integrity of humanity and how all of these different weapon systems, such as mRNA vaccines or 5G towers or GMOs or, you know, vaccines in the food supply or even mammography, are all wars against your genetic code. Because genetic code is the seed of humankind, created in the image of God, created with God's blueprint, it makes sense that satanic forces that are anti-God and anti-Christ would try to disassemble the genetic code of humanity using various technologies such as mRNA, and that the two nations in the world which have spearheaded this effort are the two most evil nations in the world that are at war against God. And I should qualify that and say it's the satanic criminal cabal leading these two nations, not the people of the nations themselves. But the two nations I'm thinking of are the United States of America and Israel, who created the mRNA vaccines, who built the biological weapons to dismantle human proteins and human genetic code. It was the Department of Defense, and it was also corporations and the Israeli government, you know, corporations in Israel, that led this effort. So yes, there is a war against humanity. It's a war that's not just kinetic. It's not just economic. It's not just nuclear, although nuclear fallout will, of course, cause a lot of genetic mutations that alter your genetic code. You know, nuclear weapons are, I guess you could say, a form of antichrist weapons because they dismantle human bodies created in the image of God. But it's more than that. It's much more than that that's coming. So what I want to do for you here, first, I want to read some posts that I put out there earlier. And I think these are really important posts. Let me just read them for you that cover some current events. And then I want to play for you a sermon that I recorded, actually like 12 hours ago, I recorded it. And it's sermon number 83 out of my 100 sermons. But this is, I think this sermon is the best one I've done yet on really describing the war against humanity. And although I mention Genesis chapter 1, this sermon and really all my sermons, they're not just boringly reading scripture. They're nothing like that. If you haven't heard any of my sermons, you'll want to hear this one because it really lays out the satanic attacks against humanity. It'll especially describe a lot of technologies that you are familiar with, such as mRNA, you know, vaccine, death jabs, depopulation weapons, alteration of the food supply, things like that. But that's a really powerful sermon. We're going to get to that in a minute. First, let me read the following for you that I posted on all my social media. And I want to encourage you, of course, join me at brighttown.io. That is the decentralized peer-to-peer blockchain-driven social media platform that cannot be censored. My username there is HealthRanger. It's brighttown.io, and you can just join there anonymously. You don't need a phone number. You don't need anything. Just create an account. You can use any name you want. It's anonymous, and it's uncensorable. Also, if you want to follow me on Telegram, I'm Real Health Ranger. If you want to follow me on X, it's Health Ranger. If you want to follow me on Brighttown.social, it's Health Ranger. And again, Brighttown.io, also Health Ranger. So join one of my social media platforms and I will keep you informed because there's going to be a lot of breaking news here as Israel is about to bomb Iran and it's looking really biblical in scale, like probably going nuclear very quickly. By the way, gold is 2720 of course, an all-time high. And silver is $33.70 spot price, which is the highest it's been, I think, in 14 years. And it's going to go much higher. If Israel attacks Iran, you're going to see gold above $3,000, in my view. And the dollar itself will continue to decline in value, but gold and silver will tend to hold value against the dollar. And one way to put this is that for the first time ever in history, $1 is worth only 1/2700th of an ounce of gold. That's what was just achieved. And soon, $1 will be worth only 1/3000th of an ounce of gold, especially if there's a war with Iran. So if you want to get some gold and silver, our sponsor in that space that I strongly recommend you contact is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. You can fill out a form and request a phone call. You can fill it out this weekend. You can talk to them on Monday. And just go to metalswithmike.com to get there. Metalswithmike.com will take you there. And you can also find out real-time price quotes on all the different coins they have. These are honest people. They don't run bait and switch tactics. They don't try to upsell you on some odd, weird, overpriced, like crazy overpriced gold and silver. They don't play those games. They're honest. I've worked with them for years. They've helped thousands of our customers. Metalswithmike.com. Get some gold and silver while you still can, while it's still affordable based on where things are headed. But here's my update. First one, quote, I'm not even sure exactly how to put this into words, but the vast majority of people reading this, possibly you, have literally no idea what's about to happen to America. Unless there is a miraculous intervention by angels or white hats, your country will not be recognizable by the end of January. Quite a few of you reading this right now will already be dead by then, and a much larger number of you will see a significant portion of your dollar assets evaporate into nearly nothing. The rule of law will have collapsed, and there is a significant chance that tens of millions of Americans will have no infrastructure functioning at all, either due to an EMP detonation, a cyber attack on the power grid, or the outbreak of nuclear war. Simultaneously, many millions of foreign occupiers are already in the country with weapons and instructions, and they will soon be activated to carry out mass sabotage and extermination operations, aided by the U.S. military, which has just been given new lawful authority to assassinate American citizens on U.S. soil. If Trump wins, the deep state will activate everything they have, every weapon and every Samson option, including nuking ourselves and deliberately collapsing the entire Western banking system in a great-taking financial reset. Deagle's prediction that 200 million Americans will be dead by the end of 2025 no longer looks outlandish. It is one of the very likely outcomes of where things are headed. And if the deep state gets its way, every city in America will burn. Every American will be slaughtered, and at least 1/4 of the global human population, about 2 billion people, will be exterminated. Prepare accordingly if you wish to survive. And survival will be hell, by the way. There are no easy outcomes ahead. All right, so that's the first one. Kind of getting black-pilled right there. Here's the next one. I've come to the conclusion that globalists really don't care who wins the upcoming election because they have nefarious plans for each scenario. If Kamala wins, they destroy America through tyranny, political persecution, censorship, and military violence against the American people, probably with another staged insurrection involving the Fed-run Patriot Front clown actors. If Trump wins, they do a rug pull on infrastructure and collapse everything out from under Trump in 2025. Banking, currency, power grid, food supply, rule of law, etc. Either way, they get the chaos they want, and they turn America into a battlefield. Remember, they have millions of military-aged men already occupying the USA with access to weapons, including mortars, RPGs, surface-to-air missiles, anti-personnel mines, etc. I forgot to mention improvised explosive devices, too. They have those. That asset will be activated at the time that best contributes to mass chaos and collapse across America. It might occur right after the election, or any time up to and including January, or even right after Trump is sworn in, if we are fortunate enough to get there. The whole scenario will likely be initiated by a nuclear weapon detonated in the USA, blamed on Iran, so that Trump or Kamala will launch nukes on Iran. And if you want to know who sets off that nuke, ask yourself, qui bono, which means who benefits. And the answer to that is, of course, Israel, right? Israel. And then my third post, which is the final one I'll read for you today, and it's the perfect introduction for the sermon that I'm about to play for you here, is the following. The MAHA movement, that's Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA movement is missing an extremely important point. Most people want to eat unhealthy, nutrient-depleted, sensory, excitatory food. You see what I'm saying? Most people want to eat junk food. Every single American has, for the last 25-plus years, had access to everything they needed to know to be healthy thanks to websites like mine, naturalnews.com, and mercola.com, and greenmedinfo.com, etc. This information has been free and not hidden. Furthermore, every food item sold in America carries an ingredients label showing exactly what it was made with. People who want to be healthy can easily find healthy items right now. People who don't will not change their habits just because government starts banning certain minor ingredients like food dyes. The people who actively want to eat high fructose corn syrup, purple-colored sugar bomb cereals, and MSG-laced snack chips are, of course, absolute bleep-tards. I'll keep it clean here. Bleep-tards. They will continue to find a way to be bleep-tards no matter what the government does. Remember, some people deep-fry Snickers bars. You can't fix that with government regulations. The way the establishment deals with bleep-tards is to trick them all into lining up and voluntarily taking bioweapons depopulation jabs. This also reduces government entitlement payouts on Social Security and pensions, etc. The global IQ survival test is underway right this minute. It's a pass-fail test. How much you want to bet the same morons who buy Fruit Loops are also buying the jab propaganda? If you don't read ingredients labels on groceries, you probably don't read the insert sheets for vaccines either. Those people won't be alive much longer. As the mRNA bioweapons are becoming quite sophisticated and widely deployed, you either wise up and stop believing the food medical establishment, you know, food/medical, or you pay for your ignorance with your life. It has really come down to that. Yeah. And that earned like over 95% upvoted on that comment on Telegram. All right. So with that said, then we're going to go into sermon number 83, which I think you will really enjoy. It's very informative. It just really lays out with crystal clarity, I believe, the ultimate war that's taking place on planet Earth right now. So give this a listen. And if you want to hear more of my sermons, you can find them all at abundance.church. You can just enter that as the address in any browser, abundance.church. All the sermons are right there, or you can follow my channel on brighteon.com. Here we go. Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church. This is a very serious sermon about life and death, about Satan versus God, about the creation of this entire cosmic simulation. So we'll begin with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for you, just giving you enough to refamiliarize you with the chapter. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So this is, in my view, this is God creating the rules of physics. Remember that we are living in a giant simulation created by our Creator, the Lord. This simulation was created by Him who also set the rules of physics, chemistry, light, electromagnetism, gravity, strong and weak nuclear forces, the table of elements, all of it. That's what's meant by verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So, you know, this goes on, and he created the waters, and he created the earth, and then he created the seeds, which is genetic code for the self-replicating mechanisms of plants and foods. And then he created, you know, waters and all the birds and all the fish in the ocean and so on. And then if we fast forward to verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Isn't that interesting? Our image. Not my image. He says our image. Okay. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right, this is heavy. So mankind was created in the image of God. What does that mean? I think a lot of Christians have been mistaught that this means that God is a human being. It's laughable. Yeah, of course God's not a human being. God is the creator of this entire cosmos. How could he be a human being living in a timeless, transcendent dimension that's not even 3D? Right? He created all this. He's not a human being. So what does it mean that mankind was created in God's image? It means that mankind was given the blueprint that God had in mind, in his mind, in his intention. He created a blueprint of humankind, which is genetic material that is divine. The genetic material, the chromosomes of humanity, and then he created the XX and the XY. He created man and woman, male and female, and they are different. And no, you cannot change from one to the other, although the satanic LGBT movement pretends that you can. And that's one way you know they are satanic, of course, is they think that a man can magically change into a woman. Actually, God created man and God created woman. And both of them are created in God's perfect image, or you could say God's perfect blueprint. Now, your genetic blueprint, interestingly, is digital. Your digital blueprint, I mean, if you think about what goes into chromosomes and genes, it's actually digital information. It does not, as you were taught in science class, perhaps in high school, it does not describe where your arms go, where your legs go. It does not describe the physical manifestation of your entire body. Yes, there are certain genes that can determine eye color and hair color and things like that. Yes, there is genetic inheritance. But what the Human Genome Project tried to show and failed to show was this idea, and that was the project in the 1990s that thought it was going to master every disease, everything about health, and that the human genes were going to be so much more complex than, you know, monkeys and frogs and turnips and sunflowers. Turns out not to be the case at all. Some plants have more genes than do humans. And most importantly, the Human Genome Project never figured out much of anything that would describe how a human being is formed, how proteins are organized to create organs. And it turns out the genes really just describe protein synthesis for the most part. And then mainstream science says, well, there's a bunch of junk DNA. It just means they don't know what it's for because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the fact that our DNA, actually, it's a perfect blueprint. It's not just junk. It all serves a purpose, probably a holographic purpose that has not yet been fully, you know, understood and documented. Nevertheless, the Human Genome Project failed. It was an utter failure. And by the way, the project was initially run in order to have government fund the mapping of the human genome and then to turn that intellectual property over to powerful corporations so that they could own and patent every human gene and they would own every human being. In other words, the corporations were trying to patent God's designs and to say that these are mankind's now, these are man's, or these are corporation property, not God's property. there was a massive outcry. I think that was around 1998 or somewhere around then. I forgot the exact year. There was an outcry, and then that was actually dropped. But that was the initial plan. And then later on, you have companies like 23andMe that are designed to sample your DNA and then to own it and build a massive database of your genetic code, which is sold off to companies that manufacture bioweapons, by the way. So if you ever take a saliva sample and send it off to a genetic testing company, you have just given them a blueprint to build a perfect bioweapon to murder you selectively by your genes. So don't do that. Don't give an evil corporation with links to Mossad, by the way. Yeah, it's all linked back to Mossad. Don't give them ownership over God's gift to you, which is your genetic code. Well, anyway, it turns out that the genetic code of human beings does not describe much of anything. Certainly not how organs are created and also the things that you're born with in terms of your behavior. You have natural fears. You have natural impulses, right? You have behavioral impulses, many of them having to do with sex, by the way. As a human being grows into maturity, and this gets into the realm of human anthropology, women are typically involved in the activity of choosing mates, even though they don't realize it. They are choosing mates. They're trying to find a really qualified sperm donor to impregnate them, and they're trying to reject the unqualified sperm donors that are all trying to impregnate them. That's really what women are doing. And there are reasons for this. Notably, that a woman has a very long investment in a child, you know, 9.5 months inside her, but then, you know, 20 years raising a child. So a woman has to choose carefully. Men, on the other hand, they don't necessarily biologically have to have any investment at all. They can just make a donation and run off to the next woman and make another donation there. And they can have lots of children and they can run away and not pay child support, right? And so men are actively seeking to impregnate as many women as possible. These are the natural impulses that drive men and women. And by the way, this is why young people love to dance. This is why they love to go to dances. At dances, what men are doing is they are demonstrating their neurological integrity. A person who is a good dancer or who is a good singer or who is symmetrical in their appearance and handsome, that is perceived by the woman, subconsciously typically, as good genetic material to mate with. A woman goes dancing in order to choose those male mates, in other words, or to attract a mate by showing off her body, her curves, her readiness to raise a child, which a man sees, and this is all built in. Again, a man sees the breasts and the curves of the hips and the dance moves and the motion of the hips, and also men are genetically attracted to the hip-to-waist ratio. So a very small waist with curved hips. This tells a man that this is a fertile, mature woman who is ready to impregnate. So men and women, when they're young, they go dancing. This is why they like to socialize and party, because they're effectively all choosing mates. This is all built into the genetic code. The genetic code is created by God. The purpose of this is to allow human beings to choose mates and to have children and to raise families and to reproduce to have better and better human beings, to continue to advance and evolve the human race to those who are more capable, who are more intelligent, because also a lot of the mating game with women has to do with mind games. Often verbal games. And it's very interesting that if you look across the planet and you look at areas where the climate is warmer, such as countries closer to the equator, such as Haiti, for example, or a lot of South American countries and so on, or the South Pacific Islands, the mating rituals are a lot more physical. They're about physical appearance. The men are more muscular. The women are more curvy on their rumps, as well as their breasts and hips and so on. But in the much colder climates, such as Russia and northern China and most of Western Europe and so on, the Icelandic nations, Since it's too cold to be half naked most of the time, the mate choice is intellectual. So men and women engage in language and cognitive choice rituals, which involve joking with each other and verbally bonding with each other and outsmarting each other verbally. And this is why, one of the reasons why people who have ancestors from colder, more northern climates tend to be more skilled cognitively and verbally, and also more tricky in terms of plotting and planning, which is why the British Empire once controlled the entire world, and it's why the Vatican is also so evil. But also then, those that are closer to the equator, if you have ancestors closer to the equator, you are typically more skilled in physical activities, such as sports, such as strength, such as endurance, even physical physique, and so on. This is just interesting anthropology to help you understand the big picture that I'm about to share with you, okay? And I could spend hours going into more detail about all of this, but all you need to know right now is that this is all created by God initially, and then through natural selection on planet Earth, people become specialists in different areas, often based on the climate and the food availability of where they live. So if you live in a climate where food is readily available, i.e. Hawaii, Pacific Islands, you know, close to the equator, you don't have to be a good planner. Why? Because you can get food and grow food year-round, and you can pick food off the trees year-round. You know, mangoes and avocados and things like that. So the people who have ancestors from those regions tend to not be good planners. The planning is necessary in very, very cold regions. Russia, Siberia, again, northern China, most of Western Europe, Canada, things like that. Japan, you know, if you have ancestors from those regions, you tend to be very good at planning, because otherwise you would die, or your ancestors would have died, because you have to grow for short growing seasons and you have to preserve food and put away some food, stockpile food in order to survive the winters. So if you're not good at planning, if you were not good at solving practical problems of growing food, then your ancestors died and you did not exist. Okay? So with that as the backdrop, here's a greater truth in all of this. A greater truth is that God wants you to succeed, and God wants humanity to succeed if humanity is obedient to God. And obedience to God is described repeatedly throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And it's very clear, and you can read all over the Bible. I just pulled up a couple of verses here to show you. Let's see, we have 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So here's God's promise relayed through David to his son, saying, if you walk with the Lord, if you follow his commandments, you shall be prosperous, and you shall always be, well, you and your offspring shall be kings of Israel. Of course, we know the rest of the story. Israel turned evil. And, you know, all the way to today, and Israel has become, in the modern world, an evil, genocidal nation of Satanists, for the most part. There are exceptions to that. But so has the United States of America, because the church has failed, the church has fallen away, the churches worship Satanism, and they hate Christ, and they don't teach Christ. Again, there are exceptions to this. I'm talking about sort of the mainstream mega churches, the pro-LGBT churches that have the drag queen story times, and so on. The bottom line is, America and modern Israel, nations both of which were founded on either Christian or biblical principles, have both turned against God, Which brings us to the other part of God's promise in the Old Testament. If you deny God's teachings, if you do not fear him, in other words, if you make your own law, if you worship your own idols, and if you worship money and greed, and so on and so forth, and you know all these examples in the Old and New Testaments, if you become a wicked, evil, greedy person and you don't recognize God, guess what? God destroys you. God destroys you. So throughout the Bible, God destroys cities, God destroys nations and kingdoms, God destroys, well, all of humanity at the end of Revelation, right? So God wants to love you, but God wants you to love him in return. God created the simulation for humanity and gave humanity free will to find out what would happen, giving humanity the choice to either respect God and live with him or to reject God, in which case God promises to destroy humanity. So understand, and I've said this many times, and some people freak out when I say it, but that's their problem. God's love for humanity is conditional. It's not unconditional. Not even Christ's love is unconditional. It's all conditional. It's based on you not being a wicked person, and it's based on nations and civilizations not being evil and wicked and rejecting God and so on. Now, remember that God created man and woman in his image, creating the blueprint of life, the genetic code. Today, which nation is involved, or which two nations, I should say, are involved in the bastardization of God's genetic code through the creation of vaccines and bioweapons that alter genetic code? That would be Israel and the United States. Israel and the United States, right? mRNA, Moderna. These are Zionist companies, largely led by Zionist people. The Zionists run the CDC, the FDA, the NIH. It's a Zionist takeover, and Zionism is Satanism. So it is a satanic takeover of the system of medicine and science that is injecting people with something that alters their DNA to contradict the image of God that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis chapter 1 also mentions seeds. And seeds are based on genetic material. And what do we have in our world today? Genetically modified organisms, GMOs. Those have been around for a couple of decades now. That's also a satanic technology. It is opposed to God. So both GMOs and now mRNA are weapons, not just against mankind, but also weapons against God and God's creation. Now, mRNA technology is satanic tech. GMO technology is satanic tech. The company, once known as Monsanto, which has since been purchased by Bayer, which is the company that carried out the Zyklon B gas chamber experiments on Jews in the Third Reich under Hitler. Bayer was part of IG Farben, which was convicted of war crimes against humanity, and IG Farben was broken up into three companies. Bayer is one of them, or as they say in the UK, Bayer, and BASF, BASF, is another one. BASF runs out of Germany. It was, until recently, the largest manufacturer of over 45,000 industrial chemicals, many of which cause cancer, which alters your genetic code and kills you, you know, with tumors. BASF, however, is shutting down in Germany. Why? Because, well, the Nord Stream pipelines were destroyed by the United States Navy through demolition, undersea demolition teams, Navy SEALs, and that cut off the natural gas energy supply to Germany. That happened, over a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, I think. And because of that, BASF can no longer manufacture its chemicals, so it's moving its operations to China, and we're seeing an industrial collapse of Europe. But getting back to the genetic story here, Bayer purchased Monsanto for, I believe it was just around $66.6 billion, or very close to that. And Monsanto was the company that manufactured Agent Orange to drop on human beings and the green plant life in Vietnam. Agent Orange is made of two satanic molecules. One of them is glyphosate. The other one is 2,4-D. 2,4-D is a broad-spectrum herbicide. And glyphosate is also another broad-spectrum herbicide. If you combine these two, you destroy plant life. Well, they manufactured this, Monsanto did, by millions of tons. And this was dropped on Vietnam. This was one of the earlier examples of the U.S. empire waging war against God's life on Earth, building molecules that destroy plants and humans, and dropping it in massive quantities on human beings, including villages and civilians and so on, which is exactly what Israel is doing today, dropping bombs on civilians in Gaza. So here we have examples of both the United States and Israel bombing civilians, slaughtering civilians. The U.S. did the same thing in the Desert Storm war against Iraq, by the way, the early 1990s, and also using depleted uranium rounds in order to cause cancer and to alter genetic code as a crime against God. So understand that God has been watching all of this. God understands that the United States Empire and Israel are both evil, wicked empires that are anti-God. They are anti-Christ nations that have unleashed weapons of genetic annihilation. I'm talking about mRNA bioweapons, the vaccines. I'm talking about glyphosate, GMOs, and of course, atrazine, gender bender chemicals. On top of this, you have other cancer-causing substances that are released on purpose, such as the train wreck in East Palestine, Ohio, which unleashed a class of chemical compounds that cause cancer more powerfully than any other class of known chemicals, and those are called dioxins. And it was all done on purpose, I believe, and dioxins now contaminate farmlands across Ohio and Pennsylvania and many other states, and those are forever chemicals. They will be around, you know, essentially forever. Certainly contaminating the food supply from here forward. Now, Bill Gates wants to contaminate the food supply with RNA technology or mRNA technology. Another version is called RNA interference technology in order to turn food into weapons against God. So the reason I say all of this is so that you understand, number one, the U.S. empire and Israel are not good countries. They are the most evil, wicked, antichrist countries on the planet, and they develop and deploy antichrist technology against the world because that's Satan's goal, is the destruction of humankind, the destruction of human populations. That goal, interestingly, is conditionally shared by God if humanity turns against God and becomes wicked. In other words, God wants to destroy the wicked, but Satan wants to destroy everybody, but especially the good. Satan will use the wicked to destroy the good, but God will use the good to try to defeat the wicked. But in the end, if humanity cannot turn to good, and if the church cannot revive its initial mission and become more Christ-like and defend God and his creation, then God will destroy all of humanity, and he will start over with a new heaven and a new earth, which is exactly what's mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, right at the beginning of it, by the way. God destroys the earth in Revelation with the seven trumpets, as we know, the seven impacts of cosmic, well, asteroids or comets, seven great impact events, which are increasing in their ferocity and velocity, by the way, and then ultimately they end Earth. That's what awaits humankind if we don't stop the wickedness that has been unleashed by the United States Empire and the Zionist Israeli regime. God is actually punishing the United States and Israel more than any other nations on Earth, even more than the communists, even more than the Marxists. How do we know this? Well, look where the trumpets hit the earth. Look where the impacts are. As mentioned in Revelation, the third trumpet or the third bowl strikes the United States of America. the land of rivers and springs. It also wipes out New York City, the great harlot, the most evil city on earth, where the United Nations sits and the occult Statue of Liberty towers over great evil. It's the headquarters of abortion. It's the headquarters of lies. It's the headquarters of global finance to finance the vaccine industry and the weapons industry and the wars against humanity. New York City is the most evil city on earth, and it is utterly destroyed in 1 hour, by the way. That's in Revelation. And that's the city that it's referring to, the great prostitute city, the great harlot. And we'll go into that more in an upcoming sermon. The second trumpet and second bowl strike, we believe, the Atlantic Ocean, which unleashes a massive tsunami that destroys the entire East Coast of the United States, including Washington, D.C., and Norfolk, Virginia, the military bases, which has all kinds of bioweapons research happening along the East Coast. It also destroys the United Kingdom and London. London's gone. It also destroys, of course, the West Coast of Africa and the East Coast of Canada and so on. That's collateral damage. But then we know that God specifically targets Israel with the sixth trumpet and the sixth bowl, which is a massive detonation, an impact crater that hits Israel, wipes out the armies of Gog and Israel, destroys the entire Euphrates River, and obliterates Israel, taking it back to the Stone Age, to the point where the Israeli people, as mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, end up burning their weapons for fire to cook food, and they spend 7 months collecting the dead. That's my rooster outside, if you're wondering, if you hear my rooster. He's going at it. Okay, so this is what God has planned for humanity if we don't turn against wickedness. So I want you to clearly understand that Satan wishes to destroy humanity. Satan runs the United States and Israel, and the United States and Israel are at war with humanity through genetic alteration weapons. God wants to save humanity, but he's also willing to destroy humanity if they become wicked and satanic. That's the real war that we are all facing right now. Now, understand that there are all kinds of ways that these satanic empires of the United States and Israel, which are often the leaders in so-called medical technology, all kinds of ways that they work to alter your genetic code to take you away from God's image. One of those is mammography. So mammograms emit ionizing radiation that alters your genetic code. And for all you women, if you go get mammograms over and over and over and over again, you will eventually have cancer because the mammography machines induce it. They cause tumors. They emit ionizing radiation. It's a fact. This is all on purpose. And this is so that they can then give women cancer. It's irradiating your heart and your chest, and to some degree your lungs. They give you cancer, and then they eventually, 1 year, they spot the cancer, and they say, oh, you have cancer. And then they make money by poisoning you with chemotherapy that kills you. And that's plus one on the Satan scoreboard, okay? So if you get mammograms, you are allowing satanic forces to consume your body. Understand that. And no, I don't apologize here. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm done sugarcoating things. We are in an epic battle of life versus death, God versus Satan. You need to know how Satan operates. Mammography is one of the ways. Another way is vaccines. So the flu shots are now going mRNA. The old vaccines before COVID, they were not genetically altering vaccines. They weren't transhumanism vaccines, in other words. They were just sort of classic, you know, weakened viruses vaccines. They were still toxic in their own way through aluminum adjuvants and through mercury preservatives and, well, you know, SV40, like simian virus, cancer-causing viruses that were put into all the polio vaccines. So they caused a massive wave of cancer. They did that on purpose. Yeah, so those were harmful, but the older vaccines did not alter your genetic code. Now they deliberately alter your genetic code. And the companies that do this, such as Moderna, they brag about it. They brag about it. Well, it's satanic technology. It's designed to alter your genes. So, and it's in flu shots now. So if you take vaccines, you are, in essence, sacrificing your body to Satan. That's a fact. That is a medical and spiritual fact. So if you ever hope to be with God, to go to heaven, or if you hope to just be alive and have a healthy life here on earth, even if you don't believe in God, you don't want to take mRNA injections because they will alter your genetic code in ways, some of which are unpredictable, and the ones that are predictable are designed to be toxic. In my view, they are designed to kill you. Also, the food supply. If you're not eating organic, then you are eating pesticides and herbicides. Those are designed to harm. They are designed to cause infertility, and the herbicides, such as atrazine, are designed to cause gender bender effects, to turn men into women, or boys into girls, and girls into boys, which is all part of an attack on God's family, reproduction, and the prosperity, you know, go forth and multiply, that's mentioned in the Bible. Well, you're not able to do that if you have widespread infertility. Infertility is one of the effects of all of these satanic attacks on humankind. And there are many other types of attacks as well, such as electromagnetism through cell towers and mobile devices. These attacks also can cause cancer through the production of peroxynitrite in your blood, even though that radiation from electromagnetic devices is not itself ionizing. It can create these horrifically strong free radicals that can alter the genetic code in your body's cells, causing cancerous effects, even though that radiation is not itself ionizing radiation. But remember that mammography is ionizing radiation. And then on top of this, they've got nuclear weapons, probably on the verge of dropping those, that will emit ionizing radiation with all of these radioisotopes that decay with the release of typically alpha or beta particles that cause mutations in your genes. And we're talking about, you know, iodine-131, cesium-137, which is especially dangerous, and strontium-90, for example. These radioisotopes will alter your genes. These are the after effects of nuclear detonations, and this is also what's coming, very likely, for humanity. Who's the first nation likely to use nuclear weapons? Israel, the satanic nation of Israel. Where do the nukes come from? The U.S. Empire, the satanic nation of the U.S. Empire. I don't mean that the founding of the United States was satanic. No, the founding was Christian. It got taken over by the Satanists. Ever since the assassination of JFK, the U.S. Empire has been run by Satanists, and they have evolved their technology and their dominion over Earth in order to ultimately destroy most of the human populations. And that's exactly what they're on course to do right now through genetic engineering, through all these methods that I've mentioned, EMP weapons, blocking the sun, shutting off photosynthesis, causing mass famine, starvation, war, disease, pestilence, basically the four horsemen of the SEALs. It's all being unleashed by the satanic nations of the United States and Israel. In effect, you could even say that the first four seals in the book of Revelation refer to things unleashed by the U.S. and Israel. There are no nations in this world that are more satanic and more evil than the United States and Israel. And God will destroy them both, as I said earlier. God will destroy them both. But we the people, if we want to have a world remaining for humanity, we have to defeat evil, and we have to revive the church, and we have to convince God that he should spare us, that the giant space rocks that are already on a trajectory to Earth that will strike if course isn't changed, we have to convince God to change the course of those. Otherwise, they will impact and they will destroy all of human civilization. God will reboot the planet and start over, saying, well, they were, you know, all those humans, they were too wicked to save. Satan had taken over and there was nothing left to save. So there's the real story of what we face right now, folks. That's the real story. We are not just in a fight for our lives. We are in a fight for the very survival of human civilization. And if we don't defeat evil, which means defeating Israel and defeating the U.S. Empire, defeating the deep state, defeating Mossad, if we don't defeat these elements, we lose the whole planet. We lose all of human civilization. Your children, your grandchildren, they will all be null and void. There will be no more children. There will be no family tree. There will be nothing left to inherit. There will be nothing. The entire surface of the earth will be completely obliterated. God promises this. Every mountain will be flattened. Every wall will fall. Every tree will be destroyed. The entire surface of the earth will be engulfed in fire. In fact, the entire crust of the earth, down to several miles deep, will be liquefied. There will be mass liquefaction as it is superheated because of an impact from a space rock that reaches all the way to Earth's core and superheats the Earth from the inside. So that is not survivable. not by any human being. No one will live through this. So we have to make a choice. This is why it's worth fighting against evil, fighting against the evil satanic regimes of Israel and the U.S. empire and the vaccine industry, which is rooted in Satanism, and the pesticide industry, the weapons industry, all of this, the nuclear weapons industry. These are all satanic regimes that are at war with humanity, created in the image of God. And anything that alters your DNA on purpose, mRNA injections, you know, mammograms, ionizing radiation effects from various electromagnetic sources and so on, all of these are anti-God, anti-Christ technologies. So that's the battlefield in which we are right now. And it took me a while to be able to explain this fully, but now we have a very big picture of exactly what this battle is. So here's what I encourage you to do. Number one, protect your genetic integrity. And you can do that by avoiding all of these toxins and avoiding the jabs and avoiding non-organic food. You know, only eat organic if you can, or grow your own food, which is obviously organic. Avoid radiation and avoid electronic devices as much as you can. I can't do it completely either, but I do it as much as I can, and I don't use any 5G devices whatsoever. Speak out against evil. God says cowards go to hell. It's true. I've covered this in another sermon. Cowards go to hell. This is the time to speak out and to speak out against the evil of Israel, the Zionism regime, and the evil of the U.S. empire. Speak out against the evil of war, the evil of transhumanism, the evil of mRNA technologies, the evil of the vaccine industry. Speak out against evil. Help defeat evil, because that is the only chance that we have to survive as a race, as a species, as a civilization. This is not about white versus black. This is not about Chinese versus, you know, Koreans. This is about all of humanity. We either survive or we are all destroyed. And we know how the destruction happens. God will destroy us all if humanity becomes too wicked and too overtaken by Satan. And Satan will destroy us all if the good people stay silent and weak, which describes most of the churches today. The churches are silent and weak. So we either take a stand for life, for Christ, for God, or we shall all be destroyed in the end. The only saving grace to this is that the individuals who are good, they are saved in their souls beyond this earth. That's mentioned in Revelation. It's the post-tribulation rapture. After the earth is destroyed and everybody's dead, the good souls will be saved and will join Christ and the Lord in heaven, which is a completely different dimension. It's not in the sky. It's not even in this 3D realm. It's not even in this universe. It's a totally different dimension, by the way. But that's where your soul goes if you are a worthy person. But nobody survives Earth unless we defeat evil. And according to the Bible, evil is not actually defeated on Earth. You may say, well, the book of Revelation says Jesus comes back on a white horse and defeats Satan and sends Satan to hell for 1,000 years. Yeah, okay, but turns out that's not Jesus on a horse. It's a giant luminous comet from the sky. It does defeat evil by destroying all of human civilization. Satan is defeated for a period of time, and then all of Earth is destroyed anyway, because human beings never prove to be worthy in the eyes of God. So no. Christ does not return to save humans on earth. God sends an asteroid to destroy evil, and the souls of worthy people are saved by Christ and the Lord. That's what happens. Earth is toast if we don't turn this around. Earth is gone. I mean, will be. There will be no man, no woman, no tree left standing on the surface of the earth. There won't even be any fish in the sea. We're talking about complete annihilation of every living creature other than, I mean, perhaps maybe some extremophile bacteria might survive this. Possibly. But we're talking about resetting the earth back to, you know, bacteria level of life. That's it. No complex life forms will survive. So that's what we're facing. So if you ask me, why is it important to defeat evil? Why is it important to speak out against evil? That's why. Just explained it in 43 minutes. There you go. So if you want to hear more details about this epic cosmic battle for life and death, the battle between the Lord and Satan, the battle for the future of planet Earth, well, listen to my podcasts. I'm at abundance.church. My name's Mike Adams. I'm the founder of Brighteon. I'm the founder of Natural News. I'm the founder of the Church of Natural Abundance. And as I've gained wisdom over the years, I've realized what's at stake. This is not just a simple fight about politics or economics. It's not just a simple fight about dollars versus gold or Bitcoin. It's not a fight about Republicans versus Democrats. It's not a fight about even political ideologies. It's a fight against Satan for the future, whether we even have a future on Earth. That's what this fight is. Everything else, frankly, is a distraction from that. So read the Bible. It tells you extraordinary things. Read the Bible. Learn from it. Be a good person, because if we fail and Earth is obliterated by God, then you will hope that you have been a good enough person to end up in heaven. Otherwise, it's bad news all around. And if we have enough courage and enough conviction and with God on our side, there is a possibility that we could save this planet. We could save human civilization. But that will require everybody speaking out against evil and defeating evil, which today includes the nation of Israel and the nation of the United States of America. At least in both of those countries, it is the criminal cabal of illegitimate occupiers who run those nations. They must all be defeated and stopped. The great criminal cabal, the globalists that are trying to destroy life on Earth, they must all be stopped. That's the only way we save planet Earth. So thank you for listening today. And I sincerely wish for God's blessings upon you, each and every one of us, because the situation doesn't look good right now. It's not looking good, but there's always a remnant who can, with God's help, fight back and possibly defeat this satanic evil and literally save the world. That's what's at stake. All right. Thank you for listening. Take care. Here's what we've got at healthrangerstore.com. New items that might interest you. We've got coconut chips in stock right now. I've got some on my desk here. And spagyric lion's mane mushroom extract as well, which is just an extraordinary functional mushroom. It's my favorite mushroom. I use it myself. I use it to help myself naturally heal. And I think that you will love that product and what it can do for you. We've also got a vegan soft gel omega-3 supplement available now. Most omega-3s come from fish oil, but this product is vegan, no fish involved in the supply chain. I think you will really enjoy it, but it gives you all those amazing omega-3s that support your natural health. In addition, if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you'll see some of the amazing products that we have in stock right now. Everything is laboratory tested. Almost everything is certified organic. And because of your support, we are able to donate food supplies to people in need. We have raised, as you may know, $558,000 in food donations for the storm victims of North Carolina and Florida. And we have trucked out now about half of that donation on a total of, I think, 24 pallets stacked with our Ranger buckets, mega buckets, and other storable foods that is now being distributed to people in North Carolina. And so we've got about another almost 300,000 or 280,000, whatever it is, that is staged for future donations, and we're working to try to coordinate some of that for people in need in Florida right now. Bottom line is, you help yourself when you shop at healthrangerstore.com. You help yourself with outstanding nutrition and clean foods, and you also help us help others through food donations to people in need. So check out all the amazing products. We've got discounts. We've got loyalty programs at healthrangerstore.com. You earn loyalty points on every single sale, every purchase. Look at these categories, supplements and preparedness. I think we have the most ruggedly packed, storable survival food, certified organic, that's perfect for feeding yourself after storms, or when there's a supply chain breakdown or any kind of emergency. We've got that. Personal care products, toothpaste, body soap. We've got laundry detergent, all of them without any artificial fragrance chemicals whatsoever, because we don't use that stuff. We don't touch that stuff. We've got home products, food and beverage, and so much more. You can find it all at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you. Take care.